I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value. So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
I love that. Howard Beale from the Movie Network, and we've got Sound Off open lines for you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And with a flip of the switch, we go to open lines. We'll start by going to Dyersburg, Pennsylvania on the wildcard line. Hey, Philip, take it away.
Hey, George, Dyersburg, Tennessee. I had a question for your guest. I didn't get a chance to make it in. If he has three governments backing him on his expedition, why in the world would he need individual donations?
I'm not sure the governments are backing. They're probably sanctioning, but I don't think they're funding.
I thought he said backing. That's what I read into what he was saying, is that he had three governments supporting the expedition, Australia, India, and Indonesia, I believe he said.
I think what he's got to do is get like a major network behind him, television network, that wants to air this, and then get it funded and go do your thing.
History Channel, Sci-Fi, there's people out there that would do it. I mean, if it's valid.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, hey, thanks, Philip.
Yeah.
Next up, let's go to Metairie, Louisiana, east of the Rockies. Hey, Stephen, welcome to the show.
Hey, George G. Didn't think I'd be talking to you.
You made it.
Yeah, I tried last Friday, and I guess I got in a little bit too late. Anyway, to start things off, I like your show. Great job on it. You've had some really amazing stuff as of late with the science and I'm not much of a paranormal person, but I find even the UFO stuff to be a little bit interesting.
Yeah, we try to mix it up, Stephen.
It lends some credence to my belief that there is life out there. It's just our scientists need to find it. I also especially liked, it's been a while, but you had a guy on, his name's Stephen Meyer, with his book, Signature in the Cell.
It's been a long time since.
I thought that was a great program. He really describe the way that DNA works in a term that touches very close to my heart.
Now, your name's Stephen. Are you the same Stephen Myers?
No, I'm not Stephen Myers.
I'm pulling your leg.
Well, anyway, I'm a little nervous, so kind of bear with me. It's the very first time. I'm a first-time caller to your show. And really, I guess for the past month or so, I'm really more also a first-time listener. I got like three things I need to or want to speak with you about.
All right, let's pop through them.
All right, I'll start with the first thing. I'm not gonna go too much into this first one. It's about what your last guest was talking about. My advice to anyone listening: don't believe everything you hear.
What didn't you believe, Stephen?
His claim and I can't believe he has this out on the radio or anywhere, his claim of a civilization that lived 11,600 years ago, possessing flying machines and nuclear weapons. Yo, what's up with that?
That was not his claim. Believe me, other researchers have said this. He's just picking up on what some of them have done.
Okay, then where is their proof that the ancients, where are the ancient processing and manufacturing facilities for the fuel? Where are the centrifuges? Because we all know to make a nuclear weapon, it starts with making nuclear fuel, right?
What if it
was? And to make the fuel, you have to have a centrifuge to concentrate and purify it, not just uranium, plutonium, any nuclear fuel that goes in a weapon. I find that impossible to believe that some, unless it was aliens from another world, I'll believe that before I believe any native Earth civilization.
Well, let's assume for a moment, Stephen. Let's assume
impossible.
Let's assume for a moment that this was done a million years ago.
Not possible.
Well, why?
Why? The human Homo sapiens has not been in its current form for that long.
Ah, you haven't heard Michael Cremo, have you? You'd love hearing him. He believes mankind is 100 million years old. So I'm just
Let's assume. Where you're coming from.
Let's assume they're a million years old. I bet every structure would be gone by then. Even if it was made with men.
Absolutely right.
Gone, just down to rubble. There'd be no remnants of that. So whatever factory or plant that they might have had to process this, it's gone. What's your next one, though?
All right. Well, thanks for your comments on the.
And that's possible, but you could be right too.
Well, to me, I read National Geographic. I read Popular Science. You know what? I'll give the man some credit. I'll give his sources some credit. I don't believe it now, but until I see, when I see it in National Geographic and in Popular Science, where it's definitively proved, or at least they're on the way to that, then I'll believe.
Then you'll believe
entirely.
Okay, that's what you're entitled.
The region he's talking about, I think he's referring to the Sunda Shelf. The Sunda Shelf. I know this because I have a map supplement from the July 2009 Geographic. They talked about Angkor Wat. Pretty interesting article. Anyway, enough said on that. The second thing is actually kind of two parts in a way. These are life issues that I really would like some help addressing, if there's any way to do that at all. I don't know if you remember, but I think last Tuesday you had a lady on your show that specializes, I guess, in like intent or something.
Yeah, that was Lynn McTaggart.
I'm sorry?
Her name was Lynn McTaggart.
Lynn McTaggart. Okay. Do you know if there's any way this lady can help me or send some kind of an intention or get some group to work on it or something? I have two things wrong. I could be doing a lot better in my life. I'm doing all right, but I could be doing a lot better in my life. The two things, not necessarily in any particular order, just I need them equally. The first thing, employment. I've been unemployed since the end of January this year, and I'm a little apprehensive about going to unemployment lines and all that. I looked in the phone book in my region, and there's a whole bunch of places that one could go to. I have no clue where to start.
What were you trained in before you got unemployed?
Okay, well, a little backstory on it. I went to Louisiana Technical College. It's a vo-tech school here in the area, and I got a diploma in computer technology. Now, that's not what I was doing before with my job. The job I was working at is a little family-owned small business down here in New Orleans. It's the name of the company is Cybertronics Incorporated, and I worked there as something called an assembler's apprentice, their term, not mine. But what I did was building and assembling the electronic parts and packaging for shipment of the systems that we make. We make pediatric audiometric testing equipment, and the company, for reasons I can only ascribe to the economy, the sales slacked off so much that by the end of this January, we weren't having enough income to keep paying for me.
Well, this is what we're going to do. We're putting you on the prayer list on Friday, and then you email us back and let us know what happens to you. Simple as that. My gosh, I can't believe. I've got to take another call, Stephen. West of the Rockies. Kyle, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, George. I can't believe I got to talk to you. First of all, on that, just a quick point on that last caller about intention.
Yes.
You played that guest, and just a couple of days before that, a guy at my work told me that his mother and him and his family were watching something about positive thinking. And then you did that experiment, and I helped with that, and thinking about over Los Angeles,
and it did rain.
It worked, and I told him about that, and it was awesome.
And you know what happened? By the way, this is bizarre. It didn't have anything to do with the rain, but a couple nights ago, almost in the vicinity, okay,
yes,
a water main broke, and they were flooded. Cars floated away. I've never seen this happen before.
Can you imagine that? I
wonder if we did that.
Between 10 million people, and all you ask is one night.
Yeah.
Everybody just think about water in Los Angeles. And then the first day, all of a sudden rain, and then the next day a water main breaks or whatever. And
yeah.
It's just amazing.
That's
what
weird.
People can do. You put out that energy.
That's true.
The next 2 points is in your two callers got me sidetracked, so I'm hoping to gather my bearings here. The major point I called about, I have to give a little backstory. I have a hypothesis about what's going on in the country. I have to write a book about it, but I have to do some research on it. I think that people in this country are not so much afraid of, you know, hey, I'm just one American. And nobody's going to listen to me. I think it's more of my community in the city. I mean, we've gotten so big. I mean, you can go to the grocery store and get almost anything you want. And so it's not so much afraid as it is comfortable. And it leads into my second comment is that I don't believe that the government, as far as with Obama talking to the kids, and it's become this big, huge controversy. I'm sorry if I didn't pronounce it right, but,
No, you did.
I'm sorry.
You did all right.
I'm nervous. I'm sorry. I've been wanting to talk to you for 2 years. Controversy about talking to these kids when they're actually trying to do something behind the scenes. There's a bill out there right now where they want to give President Obama the ability to take control of the internet and shut it down when he deems that there's an emergency. But you don't hear a lot about that on the news as much as what's going on with, hey, he's going to talk to the kids. And so I think that people are just comfortable with what they hear, because I've talked to a lot of people, and I say, you need to get involved, and they say, no, they don't listen to me.
Well, people tend to just go on to the next issue, the next situation. I mean, we have flowed from the tragedy of 9/11 to the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, to the economy right now, which is still on everybody's mind, and all these other issues generally have been forgotten about, as sad as it all is. And then we'll probably move on to the next one. If the economy picks up at all, people will move on to the next issue and forget about all these other things. And it's crazy what's going on right now. It really is. Thomas, first-time caller in Cleveland. Go ahead, Thomas.
Hey, George. I'm a big fan. I've been listening to your show for a little over a year, and I've gotten really, really into the whole UFO ET topic.
Super.
And I did, you know, after listening to your show for a while, I just said, you know what, I have got to do something, and I have got to figure out if I can, you know, see a UFO. And I started doing research, and I really got into Dr. Stephen Greer. And, in fact, I went to one of his trainings earlier this summer.
So, a good man.
Yeah, I signed a confidentiality agreement with him, so I'm not going to talk about the training, besides the fact that it was amazing. But
he made you sign that, though, huh?
Well, you know, there's a, you know, that whole environment, he's dealing with some very, very threatening and dangerous people.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't blame him for it. But anyway, for the users or for the listeners out there like me that want to see it to believe it, go to the Disclosure Project website and buy the Advanced Mantra CD. And I can tell you that after the training took place, and it was very extensive and intensive.
How long?
Oh, a week.
A whole week, okay.
Yeah, a whole week. We meditation every day.
All right, that is intensive.
Yeah. But it was amazing. And I highly encourage anyone that's remotely interested in, you know, to go see it. And I wish that some of your skeptics would explore Dr. Greer because, you know, his vision and – anyway – what I'm getting at, because I might be running out of time here, is I was on my way home on a road trip, on my way home to Cleveland, and I was in the car by myself, long road trip. I was in the car for at least 8 hours.
That is long.
Yeah. And anyway, so it was getting late at night, and I was just leaving I had just driven through Columbus, and the light pollution was beginning to dissipate, and I put in the mantra CD, and I said, you know, why not? Let's see what happens. And after about an hour and a half, you know, not even thinking about it, I wasn't just, you know, patiently waiting, oh, am I going to see something? I just drifted into the mantra CD. It just became part of what I was thinking. It's like what you say in your show. So often when you're driving, you just forget about where you are and who you are.
Yeah, you don't even know how you got to where you went.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And so I entered that place mentally, and I connected with the consciousness aspects of the mantra CD. And to my left was the West, you know, driving from Cleveland to Columbus to Cleveland, sorry. And I saw the Big Dipper. It was perfect, right on the lower part of the western horizon. And this was after I had been listening to the CD for over an hour. And up from the horizon came a craft. And, you know, at first, I'm sure your listeners are thinking, oh, it was probably a satellite, or, oh, it was something.
A helicopter or something.
Yeah. No, it couldn't have been, unquestionably. And what made me so convinced of this was when I thought in my head, in my consciousness, that, after going to this training with Dr. Greer, I thought, you know, I still had that element of doubt in my mind.
Do you think you summoned this up?
Absolutely. I know that it was the mantra CD that connected with me. I know that the ETs were connecting with me through the element of consciousness that this mantra CD brings out.
I think one of the things you also need to do is get a hold of Ed Grimsley, Mr. Night Vision Goggle Guy, and sounds like a beer commercial, and take a look at some of those things that you'll see up in the sky. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with final open line calls as you sound off. On our next Coast to Coast program, William Guggenheim joins us. He's going to talk about his 30-year journey into researching and documenting more than 3,000 firsthand accounts of communication with the dead. Well, another holiday wrapped up. We've only got two more left, national ones at least, Thanksgiving and Christmas. And that is it. Fast year. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to L.A. Hey, Michael, take it away.
Hey, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure
again.
Thing.
Great to talk to you. Before I sound off, I did want to mention about 2 weeks ago, I saw a strange object in the sky. I was in Studio City just looking over Encino. And there was this, I couldn't tell the shape of it, but it blasted through the sky really quickly, and it almost trailed like a green kind of trail. And the interesting thing about it was that the trail it left behind at first was a straight line, and then it actually started to curl up like a snake, and it just, its form kept changing, like the form just kept curling and curling and curling.
You might have seen the Perseid meteors, maybe.
This was after that because I did see those as well.
Okay.
And this was in daylight. And it was just, it was the strangest thing. And I felt like I was the only one who saw it, you know, wouldn't you know? And I was with a friend and he didn't see it. So I kind of was going to check my noggin, but I figured I'd call you guys first and find out
if
anybody had seen it.
Okay.
Yeah. But the thing I wanted to sound off, you know, originally it was going to be a sound off, and actually I'd rather it be a compliment to you. I've been listening to the show for a long time, and I hear a lot of callers call in, and they don't listen. You know, they're throwing stuff on you, and they have a lot of stuff going on themselves. And the way that you handle them, and the way that you always listen to them, so with so much kindness and just understanding, it just really, it's a real lesson for me. Because I listen to Ian as well, and I listen to the different ways that you guys handle things, and I just think it's a lesson, you know, because your patience and understanding and listening, it's really just fantastic.
Well, you know, Michael, everybody has feelings. Everybody wants to say something. Everybody wants to get something off their chest. Maybe they're happy. Maybe they're sad. You know, and I don't think it's just something I've never done before on the radio or even in my personal life, to try to put somebody down or belittle them or make them feel that they weren't being listened to. And that's the way I try to conduct myself.
One time I heard you cut somebody short, and that was it was during the Benjamin Krem show, which was a very rare night, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a caller on there, and I think you just had enough of him. You were still very polite, but you cut the call very short. So, but I'm a fan, and I appreciate the way you are.
All right, thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
We get out of it sometimes in a very diplomatic way. And sometimes you don't hear, of course, our delay system. I hear things you don't. Believe me. Let's go to Shreveport, Louisiana, east of the Rockies. Keith, it's your turn. Hi, Keith.
Yes, how are you?
Good.
Every now and then you have a really credible person on, unlike that guy that you had on previously, which is probably some of the most mindless, rambling nonsense I've ever heard.
Now, which one was that?
That Frank, name?
Oh, you didn't like Frank Hoff.
No. But anyway, there was this guy you had on, I guess about a year or so ago. I never forgot him because he really convinced me. There's never been, you know, not that I was ever a big believer in it or anything, but on UFOs and all that. He was a physicist, and he talked about the difficulty of space travel and the energy it takes. You know, like if you could go back in time, like do wormholes and
mm-hmm.
everything. And I never realized until that time how far across the galaxies were. You know, when you're talking 70,000, traveling at the speed of light for 70,000 years, can you imagine how far that is?
That's a long way.
And and he talked about even if you pointed straight at this planet, said there's life on that planet there, they would still only have a 1 in 500 chance of hitting the right planet. But it did make me come away with, you know, when you think about our present technology, you know, it makes me feel like we're on the smallest possible grain of sand on the world's largest possible beach. And that's why I came away with. And of course, have you ever watched that show on the universe?
Yeah. See, I think if, for example, people talk about traveling through space, if you believe in extraterrestrial life, you can't think of it in terms of our propulsion systems. There's no way.
Well, it's just, he was just, I don't know, I thought he was extremely credible. And just one other thing before I go, that boy was on about making contact with the extraterrestrials listening to a CD.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was young, many years ago, I knew people that could do that, but they didn't listen to a CD, but they did take LSD.
There you go. Gary in Chicago. First-time caller, one of the most stressful cities in the country. Hello, Gary.
You got that right. That's one of the things I like about your show so much is that you don't have all that political talk.
No, I try to get away from that as much as I can. Sometimes a little bit leaks in, but not a lot.
And then one of the ways you were talking tonight, it was reminding me of that progressive insurance girl. that's on that commercial, and she's always selling insurance, and she pops up and comes out with these weird conversations. They're real lighthearted. I think she'd be a great guest.
I gotta look at that. I don't know if I know that one.
She almost looks like she's computer-generated. She's like, always has a white suit.
Okay.
And she's not the greatest attractive, but there's something about her that just fits the part. And...
Well, if she's computer-generated, we can change that. We make it any way we want.
But it just seems like be a nice, lighthearted...
You remember the movie Weird Science? Those two kids made the Kelly DeBrock out of a computer?
Yeah, something like that.
That was a great movie.
Okay, thanks.
That's it?
For getting through.
Okay. Bye. All right, thanks, Gary. Appreciate it. And have a lot to say, just checked in. Let's go to Brandon in California, west of the Rockies. Hey, go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, George? Real well.
Well, I had two questions for you.
Okay.
First off, I'm a big advocate and believer in the WebBot system. And I did listen to your show you had in July with Cliff and George.
Yep.
Oh, and it was just amazing. But corresponding to what they said with the increasing activity and sightings of UFO, I was wondering if maybe you believe that corresponded with the Chinese 40-minute video that they captured of a UFO over their skies, as well as their increase in the swine flu epidemic. There's actually 500,000 disposable coffins being placed in Covington, Georgia, which is actually 32.9 miles from Atlanta, Georgia, where the CDC is actually based.
That would not surprise me.
And what's kind of scary is that I've been following all the Israeli, you know, intelligence on where Iran's building all their nuclear missiles and all these things. And it's just kind of creepy that all these things are coming to kind of a premonition. They're coming, you know, coming to light, becoming true.
All you have to do is look at Book of Revelation and look at the apocalypse and look at the signs and truly understand that things may be underway as we speak. But as I've always said, you're not out there by yourself. We're all in this thing together. So, you know, whatever happens, we're all going to face it. Let's go to Doug in Houston, Texas. Hey, Doug, go ahead.
Hey, well, you had a caller last night. I couldn't get in, and the guy seemed kind of nutty, but he had some good information. It reminded me when I was in junior high, I had, how could I put this, kind of a half-baked theory when I was more religious and less intelligent necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, if you were going to cover up something like a rapture, and it doesn't say actual rapture, but it does say it's going to remove people, blah, blah, blah. What if they did that with the Holocaust? I mean, how do you hide 144,000, kill 2 million, burn them all, right?
Yep.
And then, two, since there's an overwhelming cost on the Frank's Box, I was wondering, you should take the After Dark subscribers and see if maybe they'll pass one around like a library book and pay the charges themselves.
Well, I think Rosemary's got one, and where she's waiting for a newer version to pop up, but not a bad idea. Let's go to Anchorage, Alaska. Hey, Rain, what's going on? How are you?
George, I'm good. I'm good. Well, this is amazing. I'm standing outdoors in my T-shirt in Alaska, and this time of year, it's incredible warm.
I wonder if you're going to even have one of those Iditarod sleigh races this year, huh?
Sometimes they just have to not have them because of the lack of snow.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's totally weird. I've lived here my whole life, and I've never seen this.
So how do you all feel with Sarah Palin not being the governor anymore?
Well, everyone has their own opinion. I, like one of your earlier callers said, it's nice not having politics.
There you go.
So I kind of like to just, you know, I'm not into politics, and so I figure that's not my calling this time around.
Not your cup of tea, is it?
Yeah. They have to do what they have to do, and they're, you know, they won't listen to me anyway, so... I'll just let them do what they do.
What time is it up there in Anchorage right now?
Oh, right about close to 1 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, so you're an hour behind us. All right.
Yeah. Well, George, the reason I wanted to call, I only got through once before in my life, and I listened to you for many, many, many years, you and Art both. I love you both. And I just wanted to call and say thank you to you and thank you to your listeners. You had a sound off years ago, and that was the only other time I got through.
And you did it again.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it
is. This time I'm not sounding off.
Why not?
Because I'm just calling to say thank you.
Well, that's very nice of you.
Yeah, what happened is after I called in, the whole problem that I had just disappeared.
What was that problem?
Well, it had to do with illegal aliens trying to sue me, even though I had there was no connection. There was a lot of problems.
So that all went away for you?
It just went poof.
Good.
It disappeared, and we haven't heard too much about them since. But, you know, I thought about that and how sometimes people call in or you have guests who do predictions, and then for some reason these dire predictions don't happen. And I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with the people who are making the predictions. I think that in some cases they say what they see, what they feel in a sense is going to happen. And because your listeners are so, you know, they're paying attention, and whatever problem they're talking about, poof, goes away, just like what happened when I sounded off before.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I really do like listening to people when they come up and give their predictions, and then I'm really relieved when they're wrong. And I think that's part of the reason that, you know, I wouldn't fault them for being wrong, because I think that they're being influenced.
And maybe sometimes, Rain, they're wrong with their time. You know, maybe it's not going to happen when they say, but it could be a year or two away.
Yeah, it could be that. But I think a lot of it might be because of the listeners and the energy.
And they change it.
Yes.
That's the name thing. Okay, enjoy. Okay, you got it. Let's go to John in Norfolk, Virginia, first-time caller. Hey, John, what's going on?
Nothing much. Pleasure to talk to you, George, first-time caller.
Welcome.
I had a couple quick questions about the whole Atlantis thing.
Okay.
I didn't get to hear all of your last guests, but there is currently a game out there, a role-playing game that's based on people who use magic, mages or witches, what have you, and it's all based around Atlantis.
Uh-huh.
And also, as far as I knew, Atlantis was only a couple excerpts out of, what was it, Plato?
Plato.
Socrates wrote about it?
Plato.
Yeah. So how did he get all that information on Atlantis?
He apparently said that the professor from Brazil, who's no longer with us, picked it up from ancient texts and was able to decipher codes and pieces of puzzles and everything else.
So he was talking a lot about language, so there was, like, other texts on Atlantis.
Yes, and I happen to be a subscriber to Edgar Cayce, though. I think that guy truly was a great prophet, and if he said Atlantis was out there near the Bimini Islands in that region, you know what? That could be, too.
It's interesting. It's kind of hard to differentiate fact from fiction, especially with all this information that seems to come virtually from almost nowhere.
I just wish somebody would go down there and get some great data for us and pictures and everything else. He's got an expedition out there, so maybe something will happen.
Absolutely. And again, it was a pleasure talking to you. I love the show. And perhaps you'll hear from me some other time.
Okay, John, anytime. Next up, we go to Paul in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, one of my favorite towns. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Fine, I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
I just want to say something about, before I have my question, about Atlantis. At the time that Atlantis was around, most of the continents were stuck together. So that's the reason why, you know, Edgar Cayce was saying that the Atlantis was located where it is.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, because we were all hooked together before. So it's not inconceivable that's where he said it would be. But he did say he predicted it was going to rise up out of the ocean and back in the 60s, I believe, or the 50s.
I wonder if we're still moving. I bet we are.
Yeah, we still are.
Still drifting.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, we're still drifting. Everything is just tied in so nicely that if you take a look at what they were predicting, what we would look like years from now, we're still drifting. And just like the Himalayas, they're still moving an inch a year. They're still growing. The Appalachian Mountains, which are the oldest mountain ranges in the world, they stopped growing. They used to think they were foothills, and they found out that they were the largest, the oldest mountains, and that's the safest place. And that's why Edgar Cayce was told that his when he was asleep to go to Virginia Beach, where he's at right now,
yeah.
or where his company is anyway. Yeah. And that was the safest place to be. The earthquake, we are the earthquake generation. Anyway, the question I wanted to ask you was, with all the crop circles and all the pyramids being discovered all around the world, of course, my friend Horace Said, who was on your show, he passed away mm-hmm. 7 years ago, and then, of course, J.J. Hertog. What is happening here? Where is the safest place to be? I'm thinking to be up in Black Mesa with the Hopis. And also another place would be there's an indigenous tribe that's in Mexico that seems to be the safest place when the 2012 arrives.
You may be right. But as far as I'm concerned, the safest place to be is exactly right where you are. I don't think we can abandon places. You know, you can't pick up and leave and take off. One day, a tsunami might hit the eastern seaboard of the United States. And if it's a big one, if it's 300 or 400 feet high, it's going to go 20 to 30 miles inland. That could be a problem. But I don't think you can pick up and go. You can't run away. Look what happened during Katrina. It was a disaster. They could barely put people in the dome. But in terms of where's the safest for me, right where I am. Right where I am. Let's take another call or two. Diana in Australia, and I've only got about a minute left, Diana. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, George. Yeah, I just had it was in relation to your previous guest, and his calculation of kilometers was really off. He was saying like 10,100 kilometers was 3,900 miles, and it's actually 6,330. So,
I didn't have my calculator, or I would have caught that.
Yeah. So, no, it's great to talk to you. I don't get to listen to you very often because it's right around tea time here, dinner time, and when I get home from work and stuff that you're on, but it's great to get through tonight.
Well, you enjoy, and it's always great to speak to folks down under as well. We've got a great series of programs for you for the rest of the week. I'm glad you all enjoyed your, or at least most of you, your Labor Day weekend, but we'll be back at it again on our next program for Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everybody.